Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Schon guten Abend, wie geht's? Und willkommen bei Drie Mannen, un Ball, ein Ball, un Bod. That was about it. You'll see the German connection tonight. My guest, one who's full German and one who's partly German, because he's lived there for so long and look at me thinking, Jesus, it is 6 years since you ever spoke German. But there we go. Big Joe Shep here, my guest, the man formerly known as, but we can't say his name, so he's some sort of type symbol thing because his lawyers don't like us giving his real name out. He's a raconteur. He is a former rugby player. Well, he was the water boy at J4 at Seamount, he tells me, and he is a stand-up comedian. It's Kigo. How you doing, brother?
Good evening. Happy Monday. And with the German connection, I think it's fair to say that I did 6 years of German in secondary school, and the maximum I can contribute in any sort of German is hello. That's as far as I can go. So I am a credit to the Irish educational system.
Absolutely. You have an ology somewhere along the line. There you go. Tonight's show, who we got first of all? We've got David Toppin, White Walker number 2 to the Night King up in Ulster. He is cheering on from our YouTube section. Well done, Wing Up. Good man yourself. Gregor Galway, another of our White Walkers up there. White Walker-led thing tonight. And on Wednesday, actually, we'll come back to that later, but on Wednesday we have the Ulster Rugby Roundup show as well. You'll see the beautiful background surrounding that we have. We have moved ourselves, Kigo, haven't we, to Germany. On the Kigo and Big Joe show's global tour of places that we want to visit or revisit. So we started at Sea Point just outside Dublin, so we'll have to go there. And we're going to do a road show at some point in the future. So if you're watching from Tahiti, boys and girls,
oh, yes.
And you know somebody in Tahiti, Jesus, they're bound to have a rugby club. We're going to go across to Hawaii, to Kanaloa as well, because we've secured there as well. We're going off to Greece to see the girls. We're going to go off to Gibraltar to see Richard and Jahad and all the lads out there as well. So there's lots of places to go. But tonight we are ensconced in Germany. So Kigo and Big Joe show tonight. Show is not supporting any local business tonight. It's a memorial show too. You'll see the man in the top right-hand corner, left-hand corner for you. He was a Metropolitan Police Sergeant, originally from New Zealand. And Matt Ratana was sadly and very tragically killed in the early hours of last weekend, doing his job on duty as a custody sergeant in Croydon. Originally from New Zealand, came to UK, joined the Met Police Service. He actually originally played for London Irish when he came across, played for a number of clubs, and he was the former head coach for East Grinstead Rugby Football Club in the south, in the UK there. Our thoughts go out to him. He was 2 months away from his retirement, and connects for me the military and the policing world. I have a number of people we know who knew Matt very closely and also had served with him. And our thoughts go out to Matt tonight and to his family here and his Juano in New Zealand. And our thoughts to the whole family circle of the Met Police. And the thin blue line just gets a little bit thinner. And remember that, whatever we think of the world, these people put their life on the line literally. So to Matt Ratana, I salute you, sir. Rest in peace.
Absolutely.
On with tonight's show. Kigo, we got two bits tonight, but before we bring our guests in, what have you been up to?
Yeah, well, this is a weird one. We've kind of gotten the kids back to school. We've kind of gotten a little bit of peace and quiet during the day. We're hoping people keep safe, keep happy, keep isolated if you have to. I'm just outside Dublin, so it's a weird one for me. Like, my family are in Dublin. I'm in Wicklow. So I have the freedom of the state, basically, and they are trapped for the next 3 weeks. So it's difficult on the kids. They can't see their granddad, stuff like that. So we're trying to keep them upbeat through using Zoom. Trying to teach my old man Zoom is a bit like trying to teach me German for 6 years. It's very, very difficult. So I know how my German teacher felt by trying to teach him Zoom. But everyone's healthy, everyone's happy, everyone's behaving themselves, and everyone on my side of the screen is healthy, fit, and happy, which is the main thing. How about yourself?
Yeah, no, all good, mate. All good. Lots of good things happening. The Twitch thing has grown. We've got somebody watching Twitch tonight.
I was about to say we're straddling the internet here like a Kim Kardashian video.
And straddling the world as well. So not only are we strategically placed ourselves in Germany, in this beautiful city of Heidelberg, where incidentally I spent just under 2 years, a number of years ago. Lovely, lovely, lovely. And one of the hotbeds of rugby, as we're going to come on to just now. But also on the show tonight, Greg Galway says, yeah, rest in peace to Sergeant Matt Tanner, who died on Friday. Ian Gilbert says, good Abend, good Abend. Ian, welcome by the Driebacher. Driebacher, geez, South African. I mean, all this German, all these language, mate, just rolling into one. Ian is actually hola, because he is our ambassador extraordinary to the court of Madrid. How come, mate? Well, I hope you're well. Kevin Herr from Rugby Redefined in New Zealand. Good morning, all. Yeah, Jesus, Kevin.
Morning, Kev.
And just saying that, to Matt's family as well. Good. Right, Kigo, who have we got on the show? So we're covering tonight rugby in Germany, part six of our travel around the globe looking at grassroots and community rugby. So rugby in Germany and the Green Gazelles Rugby Club, which is, as far as I'm concerned, the world's only all-vegan, bit of a misnomer. People don't really understand what it is. Plant-based. And it's become a plant-based because... Oh, we'll tell you at the end of the show, or somebody might let us slip during the course of the show, but there we go. We'll come on to the reason why. So, introduce our first guest, Brilliant. I'll bring him into the studio.
Absolutely. I thought I recognized the building in the background, Heidelberg. I was there for 2 weeks in fourth year, I believe. I don't remember much, but let's get into the introductions here. Joe has stolen two of the lines of my intro already. This is the founder of the Green Gazelles Rugby Football Club. As Joe said, they are a vegan-friendly rugby club. And if you go on their website, you can see all their partners that they work with. It's all vegan-friendly, which is something I don't know a lot about. But Joe, you're going to talk about that in here, about how you're going to go on it for a little while to try and improve your lifestyle. So the man we're going to ask all these questions to, Mr. Brendan Bale.
Brendan.
How's it going?
Hello.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, keeping well, thanks. Brendan Bale here, founder of Green Gazelles. I've been supporting sort of community rugby, grassroots rugby for a little while now, and over here in Germany, working with the forces, so Rhineland-Pfalz region, and it's been a good start so far to my 2 years now, I think, I've been in Germany, so getting involved a little bit over here.
Good. Well, you're welcome to show me. Thanks very much for your time. We're going to learn more about you, more about the Gazelles. And now we had you on our Fan and Five a good while ago and wanted to get you back on. So thanks for making the time. It ties in well with Germany, you being based there with the forces down in Ramstein, in fact. I played a couple of football competitions. Yes, I played football once upon a time as well. I said it publicly on air. I'll be burnt at the stake. He's a witch. Burn him, round ball thing. But there we go. Our next guest tonight is a former player for the German rugby national side. He played 40 times, I think, if my memory serves me rightly. And I'm hoping he's going to tell us he's going to make a comeback. He's found out today. Brand new, unused, but he's going to make a comeback. Trying to tell me that he's an old man, he couldn't play anymore at 40. He's 56 with a crock of ailments. Big man. He is actually... although he played for Germany 40 times as well, he actually is the head of sports development, I think. He'll go with that. But more importantly, he's the chairman of the Deutsche Rugby Verbund, which is the German Rugby Union. Jesus, get me with a bit of culture and language. Let's bring him in. It's Manuel Wilhelm. Sean, good night and good evening. Look, his picture's there, but he's gone. Hang on, let me just remove you again and try you again. There we go, you're in.
Here we are, guys. Sorry, the second you talked about my comeback, the internet connection went down. So.
welcome.
Somebody strike us to be here. So I missed the rest, but I just say hello. Hi, I'm Manu, and I'm from the lovely city in the background of your background. So,
absolutely, you're welcome to the show, mate, and thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
I forgot to. What is it? I have to take that.
Disco
in the background. I thought it was ghosty in the afternoon. I was talking to Brendan. There was things falling off walls and the lights were going. It's like the borrowers had come out of the they knew I was going to have a shit man joke before I started, but we got that out of the way. So on with the show. So Kigo, in fact, Manu, tell us a little bit about yourself and a bit more about your background and your role in what you do with the DRV, mate, the German Rugby Union.
Yeah. I try to keep it short because I thought we only have an hour left. So I started playing rugby in Germany at the age of five, I think. And Heidelberg is a real rugby town, I have to say. We have six clubs and only 120,000 people living in Heidelberg. So I told you before, if every city was like Heidelberg, Germany would really be a rugby stronghold. But unfortunately, we are the only city like that. So, but we're well based in the southwest of Germany, so it makes it easy to connect with France. So so there is a bit of a French connection also, and very old university, the second oldest uni in Germany, or in Europe, sorry. And a lot of rowing clubs. So my home club, for example, is also a rowing club. So they used to row in summers and played rugby in winters. And that's basically how rugby got started in Heidelberg in something like 1894 or whatever. So it's really old. So rugby has a long tradition in Germany and also in Heidelberg, of course. So yeah, that's how I started. And I played rugby all my life, basically, and ended up being a player, as you mentioned, 46 caps, not 40. So that's wrong. Never made the 50. And after my studies, I tried to study as long as possible so I could play rugby. I have a law degree and a business administration degree in sports management. At the moment, I'm studying again, but next to my job. And I ended up being the manager of the German Sevens team. And from that, I got the sporting director. And now I'm the CEO since a couple of months, started in January in that new position. It's an exciting time. German rugby we had some headlines, some of them for the wrong reasons, some of them for the right reasons. But there's still a big potential. And rugby in Germany is definitely moving forward. And I try to support that process as good as possible with everything within my powers and abilities. So let's see where we end up. Yeah.
Sure, man. Excellent stuff. That's really good background on my honest apologies. And Jesus, I tell you, I feel so bad now about knocking those six caps off. You need to come back so you can play another four.
That's wrong, so it's not your fault.
Honestly, I tell you, basic research. You need to come back and so you can get another four caps, whether that's sevens or 15s or something. You know, so close and so far away. Good man. Listen, thanks for the intro. Brendan, flesh out a little bit more about yourself, mate, and tell us a little bit about the Green Gazelles and how long you're in Jerry for and the work you do with the regional team in Germany as well.
Yeah, so I grew up in Salisbury and played all my rugby there, really, and pushed on through county rugby before joining the forces. And you know what the forces are like. You know, you go everywhere and do all sorts of stuff. And forces rugby is such a it's been a brilliant journey. And I've been out the loop a little bit for the last sort of 5 years since I've been overseas. I started my first overseas tour in Belgium and established a sort of multinational side there. And it was just one of those moments in the sort of rugby journey, which you always remember. And then pushed on down into Germany, where I got the opportunity to meet with Jörg Bathel and some of the other guys within this region whilst playing at the Honey Badgers rugby in Kaiserslautern. And sort of stepped forward into a director of rugby role for the region with the aspiration, really, to inspire the next generation of German players. Rheinland-Pfalz, let's be honest, it's not hugely on the rugby map yet in Germany. But, you know, over the next few years, we're going to work really, really hard to get more people playing and get more people seen, really. And, you know, aspiration really is to get one player into the national squad. But aside from that, I pushed myself a bit harder, sort of founding the Green Gazelles and growing the world's first vegan rugby club or plant-based rugby club, which is really taking off over the last couple of years, and we've got players all over the place. So keeping busy on the rugby front, but yeah, I love it, really.
Good man. Just before Kigo sort of kicks off with Manu on rugby in Germany, I have to say, I just need to clarify on the whole forces thing. Actually, RAF. So when you say all the places he's mentioned are all RAF don't go on operations. We go to 4 or 5 star hotels and they work till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's currently at Ramstein, which is a big American air base. And having been there and all the facilities on, it's a world apart from anywhere. Only joking. Yeah, listen, you're doing a fab job with it, and it's really good, mate.
I think my internet connection's going.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mentioned that R-F-30C, that was right. Keigo, on you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to see you, lads. And it's a crazy two words to put together, Germany and rugby. I don't know why I never thought of it, but it was nothing that it hadn't popped up before. You kind of Germany has a history of loads of sports, and I just for some reason I never thought rugby was a thing. Which is so it's great to hear, but you know it is, and there is a history there, which is key. It's not a new thing, which is great to hear. So how does it work? Like you know, you're talking about. They're a rugby stronghold where you are, Manu, but it's in terms of around the country, Germany's so vast. Is there, you know, can you go on a tour around Germany and play a weekend of games, or do people come to you generally?
No. You can go on a tour. So we have around about 135 clubs now, 16,000 members in the union. We have a first division consisting of, it's divided in four regions just for the size of Germany, and each region has eight teams in the first division, so it's actually it's quite big. So you can basically play all year round. You can play women's rugby, you can play so our division structures, we have first division, second division, third division, and in some regions even a fourth division. So it's not like I mean, it's not like Ireland or something like that, but there's a strong culture, and I'd say, quite honestly, our junior teams from Heidelberg, I back them in international competition, and they have shown that before. I don't want to talk about myself and the way I was brought up too much, but we've been touring quite frequently to France. We've been beating the likes of Toulon or Saracens, knowingly that they have more of a school structure and we have a club structure, especially in Anglo-Saxon countries, not so much in France. But even now, our junior champion, Frankfurt 1880, they have beaten the Italian champion in the same age grade. One of their players, Anton Segner, is just making Mitra 10 squads and is deemed the future All Black. So it's not like we don't producing talents. There are a lot of talents. There's just the opportunities. And definitely in Germany, school is everything. And rugby is not such a big sport that you would decide to pursue a career in rugby, because there is no professional pathway within Germany. That changes slightly now with some Olympic funding coming in for sevens especially. But for the 15s, we don't have such a pathway. We had it for a very short period of time with a strong sponsor, and we almost made the last World Cup. I mean, we played the Rapid Charge in Marseille, lost narrowly in the build-up. The team beat Romania and drew with Uruguay. So there is some improvement, there is some potential, but of course, rugby is a traditional sport, but it's not a strong sport in Germany with the likes of soccer, handball, etc. Much bigger sports, but I think we punching way above our weight there a little. Yeah.
No, absolutely, and you're saying that some of your youth teams have beaten Saracens. So, any team that beats Saracens is a friend of ours. So, yeah, I'm sure we can all get along very well. But in terms, because I was looking through your accomplishments and all of that kind of thing, and it's you know, a lot of medals, a lot of trophies, and it shows that there's a lot of history there, and the European nations is something that, full disclosure, I don't know a huge amount about. You've got a medal there as well. How is Germany's position in Europe? I think, is it Division 2, I think, was the trophy you won?
Yeah, so right now, to be honest, the 15th senior team is in a rebuilding phase. Like I said, okay. we had that infight with our sponsor, which didn't work out for none of the parties involved. So we split up. Dr. Wild is now the big sponsor for Start Français, the French club. He is from Heidelberg. So there was a strong connection. We had a lot of expert players in. So there was a promising program, but unfortunately, we couldn't find the common grounds on how to move forward. And it's a bit complicated with the structure of a federation, and then on the other side, the business side, and to get the goals together and get the goals aligned. And unfortunately, we didn't manage to do that. So at the moment, we are not in a fairly good position. We just lost to Switzerland for the first time. taking nothing away from Switzerland and improving rugby nation. We also lost to the Netherlands. We won to Poland, and then a little virus hit all of Europe, so we couldn't play the remaining two games against the Ukraine and Lithuania, where we, I believe, were slight favorites, but you can't tell. The season before that, we played in the top division with the likes of Russia, Romania, Spain, and competed quite well as long as we had the backing and as long as we had the funding and as long as the team had a professional structure. So as soon as that daily training environment got taken away, we weren't competitive anymore. We have to be honest about that. There's a different story in sevens. We just won the European championship, beating Ireland on the way, but narrowly lost in the World Series qualifier to Ireland. I think it was the last second decider for Ireland, Jordan Conroy scoring in the corner. The year before, we lost an extra time to Japan in the finals. So the team is very close to making the series, but not just there yet. And same goes for our women's teams. We're just rebuilding. We're just trying to get the structures, the high performance structures in place. But what we need for that is a strong grassroots movement. And I think that's the most important part and the main focus of our work now, to build a strong and fond foundation for German rugby.
Excellent. That's brilliant. A couple of things you picked up on there. I remember seeing the Anton video when on the story on him. Phenomenal story to go through. In fact, there's a couple of people brought that up. Actually, Kevin Hare, who is one of the rugby encyclopedias that we was our go-to man. 20th of October 18, German exchange student Anton Segner left the family behind in Frankfurt to chase an all-black dream. And Rosina, after 1 year arriving in New Zealand, he was wearing black as a member of the New Zealand schools team that toured Australia earlier this that month. That phenomenal story, and it just goes to show what can be done. B-Dub Copy, I think, is just stuck up there. B-Dub, how are you, buddy? And there's a link there to the story. So everybody, go and have a look at that. That really is a fab thing. And we talk about aspiration from somebody from the grassroots to the top, which is one of the reasons why we do this particular show, to see how we can take grassroots to the elite test level and beyond. And that's fab. So, Manu, listen, thanks for that, mate. That really ties in well. And we generally love the fact of talking about, you know, building from grassroots, as we spoke about off air this afternoon. We keep trying to push to everybody that it's local then global, and we have a chance to reset with COVID, because it isn't going to change really for the next 2 years, unfortunately, in the way things are. So we have an opportunity to build from that ground up, and I think that's going to be a really fab thing to be done. Kevin Hare actually is just putting up, I think a stat. Oh, he's on to a stats night. Good man yourself. 1952 to 2016, played 280, 121, drew 10, lost 149, 43%. Good. You're in the ascendancy. Keep going. Good, Kevin. Well done, mate. Excellent. Good man. Excellent. Great to see. We'll come back a little bit more to the sevens afterwards. But, you know, Ireland, we were the same a couple of years ago, not in the seven series. And sort of, we wondered whether we sort of came close a couple of times. So I think it's not if, it's just when, you know, COVID permitting, over the next sort of year or so, mate, that you'll break through. And, you know, a huge congratulations, you know, on that. And I think it's great to see. Brendan, the Green Gazelles. So tell us a little bit about your role, how you got into sort of a little bit more rugby with Ryan Faltz, and what it's like from sort of grassroots and regional type of level, and where you see them at, and how do you find it as an Auslander coming in and how trying to develop things with a full-time job and, you know, all the rest of the stuff that you're doing?
Yeah, so when I first arrived here in Germany, I went down to the local club, the Honey Badgers, and, you know, straight away, it was just, everyone was so welcoming. They really, really were. The one thing that stands the sort of the Germans out really is their attitude as well. You know, you've got guys there who are completely brand new and they just want to learn. They have they're pure athletes, and it's been really pleasing. The sort of first sort of 6 months I arrived, and then I wanted to sort of push out a little bit and start growing a few ideas I had of how maybe we could help the region. So I got involved a little bit more with a couple of the other rugby clubs within the region, and then started to, you know, suggest a few things. And then I sort of stepped forward a little bit and then managed to get the director of rugby role and sort of went from there, really. And we're still in our formative phase, but at the moment it's about just getting people on the field and getting some of the more talented players together, but also focusing on those who are completely brand new and sort of just teaching them the basics, you know, catch, pass, carry. I managed to get some time with Damien McGrath, the Sevens coach, and he said, you know, just find people who can catch, carry, you know, and pass properly. And like some of the other coaches and support staff within the league are great as well. So there's the head coach of the Honey Badgers is a guy called Frenchie, and he's got, you know, bags of experience, and another guy called Ken. And, you know, just having a chat with them and pulling some of their sort of tactics and how they approach certain situations and how some of the German coaches, you know, approach certain situations has been brilliant. And I really think we're on a good path here in Rheinland-Pfalz, genuinely. And our first combine was about 3 weeks ago, and we did it in Ludwigshafen. And wow, we're just trying to like set a more professional setup. The guys are like turning up, and they didn't really know what to expect. And trying to explain that when I was a young boy trying to represent my county, that was a really big thing, you know, and representing the jersey was like, you know, it was something you want to strive for. And that's what we're trying to do here. So young Germans are looking up and thinking, I want to represent the RLP jersey. So if, you know, and that's what we're trying to do. But we're still in our formative phase. But once COVID pushes through, I really think we're going to step forward and do some good stuff.
How do you find it recruiting the players or getting them involved Heidelberg, as we spoke about before, is quite a hotbed. Hanover, we were talking about this afternoon with Manu as well, but as a region, right, Valt, is it easy to, you know, bring guys in?
I think like Manu said about, you know, school, it's not really in the schools. So it's about trying to get people aware of what rugby is. So it's mainly sort of word of mouth, advertising through social media. So we're pushing quite hard in the region now to align all of our social media platforms to really get the message out. But we talk about recruitment, but we also talk about retention. So a lot of the players will, within our region, some of the better players will, you know, they'll head down to Heidelberg and Frankfurt and you know, they'll do the commute because it's a better standard of rugby. So it's a case of like, you know, it's just trying to get our standard of rugby better so we retain people. But like Manu and I, we had a chat, and I think some of the national players, they get like a day release or something where, you know, they can come on down and share some of their experiences too. So hopefully we can attract more players to the game. And it's just outreach, really, pushing hard on getting our name and our brand of rugby out there, really.
Excellent. I like the sort of the cooperation as well, as you would expect, but it doesn't always happen. Just speaking with Manu this afternoon, you know, one of the issues in Ireland, you know, the elite school system or sub academies and you don't play for clubs, and that is a massive difference. So that interoperability thing, I think, is an intercollaboration is fab to see. So, you know, fair play, good stuff. Keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. As Joe was saying, it is a bit of a mess here when it comes to kind of the elite schools and then the clubs. You can only do one. So it's a bit of a mess here. But when we're talking about training, this is something we've been talking about with everyone. And I know my former team have gone back slowly during COVID. They're obviously locked down again now. But how have you been dealing with COVID, Brendan, in terms of getting you know, you had your combine a few weeks ago. Was that it? Was your thinking different around COVID there, or was it business as usual?
Business as usual, really. Obviously, you know, you've got the normal restrictions of, you know, recording who's there and, you know, trying to maintain what, you know, some of the measures as best you can. But, you know, really, just got to take advantage of what we've got. If you can't play rugby, you can be doing other things. Players can be working hard in their own time. So over here, I'd say it's been pretty good at our level of rugby, you know. So we've been quite, you know, touch wood, we've been pretty good so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Without trying to jinx anything here during the show, it's good to hear that it's you know, you're able to keep relative normality going. You know, the big struggle here is, you know, we brought the provincial teams back in very small pods, eventually bringing it all the way up, but one case of COVID, the whole thing shuts down. So it's good to see that you're able to keep relative normality in this situation. And in terms of season and season times and things like that, have you started have you played games yet, or what's the story there?
Well, for our RRP sort of representative side, we haven't. But for sort of club level within our region, we have our first competitive fixture on the 10th of October. That's like we're doing like an internal cup with the various teams here. So every 2 weeks, it'll just be, I think it's 4 or 5 rounds. And one or 2 weeks away, and we get really into it.
Brilliant. And in terms of crowds, are you allowed people at games, or how does that work over there?
Well, at the moment, we're just keeping it quite simple. So more information will come out, but I don't expect huge crowds, no.
Well, the main thing is rugby's coming back. That's all we really need for the start. Like that.
People are just gagging to get playing. They're just like, come on, give me the ball. They're ready for contact.
That's the key. We need that here. We need you to come over and teach some of our players to love contact. But separate issue. Back to Joe before I start ranting.
Oh, you're going to carry on then? Oh, just let me tell you this. It's bad. We don't allow Keigo to talk about going into contact. We don't like me talk about scrum offs or box kicking, because otherwise we just look. I can just feel it welling up anyway. Manu. What sort of things are you trying to put in place for your grassroots and the schools and development? I mean, do you have outreach officers? How do you develop that, mate? You know,
So of course we have a strategic long-term plan in place, which is highly depending on funding, and there are different levels of fundings we receive. Once our national team was doing better, we received more funding of World Rugby. Especially our development grant was bigger. So we started a project with a national development coordinator overseeing regional development coordinators. So for you to understand, Germany has 16 federal states. So if Brendan is talking about them being able to play rugby again, that might be the case for Rheinland-Pfalz, but it might be a completely different story in Heidelberg and Baden-Württemberg. So it's very different in every region. So, and the same goes for the funding structure, also on a community grassroots level. So what we're really trying to do is to get out experts for each region, highly upskilled, so they can teach the clubs, how do I get floodlights, for example. You know, what kind of paperwork needs to be done to get floodlights in Heidelberg, or what kind of paperwork needs to be done to get floodlights in Ludwigshafen? Might be a completely different story. Might be even different departments of the one might be from the city, one might be from the region, whatever. You know, so all that kind of stuff is part of our bigger project and part of our strategy. We started it quite positively. We had one full-time position overseeing everyone, and we had the first full-time position for Hanover. And unfortunately, after we missed out on the World Cup qualification and all the shambles going on with the sponsor, we didn't just lose the sponsor, but we also lost most of the funding of World Rugby. So we are rebuilding that, and we're trying to do that by raising the membership fees, by attracting new sponsorships. I don't need to tell you guys how difficult that is during COVID. So we had a couple of high-level sponsors like DHL, for example, where we have been in good negotiations to get a new contract, but at the moment everything is on pause because they don't know when to invest, where to invest, etc. Nevertheless, I think we managed to basically rebuild the whole union from the scratch. We moved our main offices from Hanover to Heidelberg, and all that is part of the strategy to save money and then to spend it again in activities supporting grassroots rugby. So we cut down on administration. At some stage, we even needed to cut down on the national teams. But now we're slowly rebuilding all of that, and it's looking quite promising, I'd say. Yeah.
Good. Excellent. That's good. Good to... It's good addressing the negatives in a positive way. These things happen. It, you know, Politics are in sport. Sponsors come and go, sometimes because of it. Individuals determine the way things are. Other individuals don't agree with that. And it just happens in every course of life. It shouldn't, but it does. And the fact that you've, you know, you have come in as a former player who understands what's required going up and saying, tell you what, I can be part of the problem or part of the solution. I'll be part of the solution. I'll take that role and I'll build it from inside out. Fair play yourself, sir. Well done. Excellent. We're liking that. We are liking that a lot. Still want to see you with your boots on. Video in the next 90 days. You know, I'm not going to let it go. Shouldn't have told me. It's just one of those things.
I think Joe is trying to build a veterans team. So he'll be sending a membership form over to you guys.
Yeah, I'm a veterans team that I can go and sort of tour with once a year. Get maybe 40 minutes and see if he sort of dodgy back or hold out, but we'll see. We'll come back. These are some healthy lifestyles now. Brendan Bale, the Green Gazelles, plant-based, such a more friendlier name for a certain type of chap who wants a healthy old girl, who wants a healthier lifestyle over the V word. Seriously, what is plant-based dietary? You know, what is it? What does it do for us? And why did you form a team, the Green Gazelles, to do it?
Yeah, so plant-based is basically everything. All your nutrients come from plants, you know, so no animal used in the process. But plant-based is a more friendlier word. And the term sort of vegan normally does put a few people off. So in terms of sort of my journey, my partner and I basically took a trip to Australia. We saw like a few really cool restaurants and started to get to know a little bit about the sort of plant-based food. And Amy was always a sort of lifelong vegetarian. And yeah, so she had a bit of a bad back. We did loads and loads of research, and we ended up just sort of going 2 feet in, really. I was a little bit at the start against it because I didn't really understand it. I used to eat chicken after chicken. And then I supported her with it. And, week one, I felt incredible. And this is, you know, no lie. I was like, well, I might do another week now. And then it was like 6 weeks in that I did my mile and a half run or whatever. And I knocked a good minute and a bit off and I did a PB. And I was like, it just blew me away. And it was just like, never looked back from there. And then I just gradually found like I was a bit more energized. And yeah, it just, and I'm 3.5 years in now, 4 years in. So I set up the Green Gazelles at the start, we were like going on a walk thinking, oh, mate, maybe we could combine the two ideas. And then we were like, nah, there won't be many rugby players. Because when you think of a rugby player, you think of someone who's eating a big piece of meat, aggressive, missing teeth. But I was pleasantly surprised when I got back and, set up the social media and it was like, wow, there's quite a lot of athletes who might be quite good. And then I stumbled across Connor McDonald, who's our club captain. Mm-hmm. He's done a bit, you know, he's played at a good level in the UK. And 6'5", 121 kilograms. If he can be follow a plant-based diet, then I think it knocks a lot of myths. But the journey's been great, genuinely. COVID smashed us to pieces. It really did put a lorry through our plans. But we've been working hard as a community, really, and we've grown almost now to over 100 players, men and women, worldwide. So, and we've reached pro players to absolute complete beginners who just want to represent us. So it's a really cool, interesting community where we all help each other out. And we've got a club nutritionist, strength and conditioning coaches, head coach. We got a real good mixture of abilities who are working hard to grow the gazelles, really. And yeah, it's been interesting. A good journey for me, really.
And we can officially declare that as of next Monday, tied in for a 4-week period, Big Joe Shep will be trying a plant-based lifestyle change combined with some fears that's suitable to my long-term injuries. You've got to be sensible about it. And taking a course from Adam and Grayson at Pure Sports DVD. to tying all that in together. So I'm waiting just imminently for my for some recommendations, because I, when I first looked at this, I thought to myself, Jesus, I'm going to be eating, you know, my idea of a plant-based diet was eating Keegan's beard. And, you know, I thought, there's got to be, you know, how am I going to get me protein and stuff like that? How's my sweet tooth and my love of bread and all that type of stuff? So actually, in all seriousness, I think that with the most of the injuries I've got with the spine is crumbling away and the sciatica and all that, it's all inflammation. And that's one of the big things, isn't it? Both the CBD, but also the plant-based thing. You know, even if I'm, you know, I'm doing a couple of weeks and I'm trying things, it doesn't stop me from having something else. You know, I don't have to do my usual, which is all in. But it's got to drop some of that weight. It's got to get me feeling a bit healthy and a bit energized. So I think a combination of those three things together has got to be worth trying for 4 weeks. And of course, people say to me, or people say recently, where's your Malbec gone? I've been trying to stay off the wine a little bit. So I've had the odd beer. People think I'm drinking sort of half got a pint of whiskies. It's not a beer. But I'll definitely have a Malbec in before I start next Monday, that's for sure. But in all seriousness, I think it's going to be a good journey, because the biggest problem for me is the inflammation. Hence the reason I stand, because I can't sit for more than 45 minutes without it inflaming, because where it is on the C equina at the base, you know, it's pretty, really painful. And so I think that's going to be really good. So it's one of those things, isn't it? It's about educating yourself a little bit more. So at least afterwards, even if it's not for me fully, there could be some days where I could have, you know, a week at a time or 3 or 4 days at a time. Or I know that there's something different there that I can make rather than having, you know, meat and fish and chicken and stuff like that. So I think it's good. And I'll sort of be giving some live updates and stuff to people how I'm going. Sure.
All of our players, you know, all of our players will help out. And we got, well, one of our players, Gaz Oakley, he's a really renowned chef. And it's just so creative, genuinely. Like, it's quite cool. We'll help you out.
I know. I looked at something, and Gaz has got 1.1 million followers on YouTube. And you know, the food he cooked up, it's like Michelin starred stuff. And I think that's one of the things. I think it's that ignorance of, like, where do we get me protein from? You know, it's like that, you know, I don't want to be eating mushrooms and that every single day. So I think actually once I'll find 3 or 4 things that I really, really will enjoy. And I think it comes that tipping point and everything. When you do that, you think it's that light bulb moment of, I don't need to worry about it because they're banked away. I like them. They're good. We spoke about this afternoon. One of my favorite sauces is black bean sauce. And that's a massive thing, you know, so I don't just have to have a plate of Keegan's beard and broccoli with black bean sauce on it. There's other things you can do. So I think it's that educating yourself and breaking down the mental barrier that we've had. And I definitely will not use a V word. I'll use the PB. Yeah. Way to go. There we go. Okay, well, moving on.
Can I just ask a real quick question there about that, Brendan? Because I'm ignorant. I know nothing about it. So like when you play rugby or you're training or whatever it is, the first thing you do is you lash the protein in, whether it's a shake, whether it's a steak, whether it's a chicken, whatever it is. How do you approach post-game, post-training nutrition now in the plant-based realm, I guess?
Yeah, so we've got a really good partnership with CMP Plant in the UK. And basically they fuel us up pre, post-game, you know, post training. But for me, really, it's just filling yourself up with tons of vegetables. Genuinely, it's mad. I could eat, you know, 3 or 4 broccolis. it's crazy. But in all honesty, those who are sort of new to the club or new to giving it a go, for example, we sort of link them up with our club nutritionist, and he will break down everything in detail. So body weight, I think you need 0.8 protein per kilogram of weight that you weigh, and he'll just go through it all. And for example, like Joe, he'd write a whole program up. Big thing, I wouldn't claim to be a huge nutritionist or anything like that myself. I've got by, and I'm growing every day with knowledge and stuff, and the more I research. But I sat at a briefing in London, and it was a really well-established nutritionist who talked about blood work analysis. And actually, if you do solid So, for example, a lot of people say, oh, I must be lacking in B12 or whatever vitamin. And actually, you don't. What are you judging it off? You might be a little bit tired, but you don't actually know. So doing blood work analysis over, 3 months or something and actually checking improvements and see if you are lacking in something. So that's a big thing, really, I would sort of take away is actually you might think you're lacking in something, but maybe you're actually not. So go get blood work done and then follow it from there. But always speak to a trained nutritionist because, they know whatever, what you should be taking and what amounts of everything you need per day. So,
yeah, because it is moving around the sports. Like there's a huge amount of MMA fighters and Irish boxers and things like that who have moved from the stereotypical steak all day to kind of a fairly decent level of, veggies, as you say. And when I think of veggies, I kind of go, right, broccoli, that's the only veggie I know. I don't know what other veggies there are. It's bad Irish food education. So I think education is key, and the effect it has on people. I think, you're talking to us in great spirits on a Monday. I'm knackered. You know what I mean? I want to go to bed. I don't know if it's because I've been eating too much chicken and not enough vegetables or what, but I definitely give adding more broccoli into my diet a shot because, I need that energy, So it's something I'm going to investigate after this anyway.
That sounds good. And just running off on another point, if you don't mind, Keigo.
Yeah.
It's basically if there's players out there who's watching this and let's say they've got a bad knee or they've got a bad back and, they're smashing down paracetamol just to get through the day-to-day stuff, reach out to us. You don't need to be a fully plant-based athlete or whatever every day, but you might want to do it 5 days a week. Interestingly, I think there's a lot of pro players out there who do it almost Monday to Friday and then they don't do it on the Saturday and Sunday or whatever. But yeah, reach out to us. And, if you've got a question or my advice is just give it a go. And if it's not for you, don't do it. It's simple as that, really.
Yeah, I think the thing for me is that the problems with my body information ain't going to get any better. In fact, it will eventually over time get worse. That's just the reality of the way it's crumbling. So the more I stand upright, the better. I'm very conscious of Ian Gilbert, our man in Spain, in Madrid, says front row should have no problem transitioning to a plant-based diet. Ian, let me tell you, there was enough times when I was face down in the eating grass, mate, on the front row. So yeah, right, I should be able to transition to that very, very quickly. Really interesting stuff, Brennan, and I'm genuinely looking forward to starting. And I think that that is the thing for most people, isn't it? It's educating yourself a little bit more. Don't be put off by, the first of all there was vegetarian, and then it's like, oh Jesus, and there's vegans, like these are way over the top. And I think it is just about educating myself a little bit more. Brilliant. I can't wait to start, he says. And I'll get live go updates we go. Manu, we'll come back a little bit, but Manu, Total Rugby. Tell us a little bit about your business, TotalRugby.de, what it is and why you set it up.
Yeah, to be honest, it's not really a business. It's more like a passion. So when I did my law degree, I kind of had the opportunity to start working and I didn't really feel like picking up a proper job. I was like 26 and felt, hey, I need to buy myself some time to keep on playing. Yeah, so I came up with the idea. I spent a year in Australia working with the Queensland Reds as an internship, and they had all those fancy websites, and I did the research beforehand, and player statistics and all that kind of stuff kind of fascinated me. So I picked up a friend who is a bit of an IT guru. So I'm not bad in IT, but it's not like my passion. I think I know a fair bit about writing and stuff like that and how to express myself. So we came up with that idea of Total Rugby. Of course, the first idea being young guys, students, was to earn some money down the line, but it panned out pretty quickly that's not going to happen. So it basically started as a rugby community. The idea was that everybody who wanted within Germany, they have a platform where they can publish their stuff it changed over the years. Now we have a guy being not full time, but he's behind all the editing and all that kind of stuff. It's not so much of a community website anymore. It also comes down to finances. I have to admit, we still stuck with the same platform we used in 2007. So it's 2020 now. Of course, it's not a modern platform, and we are still back with old forums kind of technology and all that kind of stuff. But nevertheless, it was a great journey, and we did a lot of interesting projects. So we had a cinema one day where we showed that Nelson Mandela movie. So that the Germany, the sneak preview in Germany was held in a big cinema, was a total rugby extra show. We've been almost all over the world covering rugby. At the beginning, obviously the German national team, but also a couple of other teams. We've been to Hong Kong, but also been to France, England, Ireland, etc., following German players or following the German team. We did live radio shows of the German rugby national team. We did live broadcastings and all of that being done with very basic technical abilities and technical background. But for us, it was a nice project, and it got me started into my job with the DRV, really, because one day the German rugby team got promoted to the first division in the seventh competition, and they had their first game playing against Wales, which was in 2010, I believe. Wales was just crowned world champion in sevens rugby. And our team, the day before they left, they had three players training. On the day we arrived at the scene, they had eight players, no kit. They left the balls at home. And I was very DRV critical in the way we reported on rugby in Germany. And that was the tipping point for me, because I said, hey, guys, that's not fun anymore, you know? It's so embarrassing. We got to change something. So I came back from that trip with Total Rugby, and I called up the DRV. I was still playing for the national team at that time, and said, listen, guys, I do the volunteer manager for the sevens team, if you like, because that's such a disappointment. The team just got promoted to the first division. They play the world champion. It's an Olympic sport now, and we don't even have kit and balls. So that's basically how I got started with the DRV, from being one of the biggest enemies of the DRV to now being the CEO. So Total Rugby definitely helped me on that way.
Superb. And actually, it is superb, because, again, it's one of those negatives come positives. You know, being that involvement, and I think it's we're telling stories as we're going around the globe with the shows, and I think that the story of that frustration, covering everything grassroots and covering the stuff around the globe, in you know, on totalrugby.de, go and have a look at that, lads, and check it out, and a bit of sport, you know, from that, and the effect that that can have, positioning you to be part of the solution. And it just goes to show what can be done when things are done in the right way, for the right reason, by the right people. So that's why I wanted to include Total Rugby. So, you know, good luck with that. Doesn't matter how old it is, mate. If it has an effect and it's still winning people over and having the desired effect of change, then I think it's good. You know, it's getting the message out there. This is modern, that maybe not as modern, but you can combine the two together and still get it done. So, you know, excellent stuff. Kiko.
Yeah, the thing I love listening to you guys about is that it's not just stationary grassroots stuff. You're doing various different things to bring the game to people, which is really, really important. It's really, really great for us to hear. And so the other thing, Brendan, I was looking at your socials today, and I saw Ready for Rugby. And I said, what is this? How is this? How does he have time to do all this sort of stuff as well? So how did that start? What is it? And what do you do through Ready for Rugby?
Yeah, so again, just a bit of a you know, I sometimes can't sleep because I think about ideas going through my head. But Ready for Rugby is more of a promotion site. It's all about just getting people, players, sorry, teams, brands, anything rugby related featured. I had a bit of a wider aspiration at the start of the setup, but since COVID hit, it's taken a bit of a back burner, if I'm honest. But I want it to grow to just help, you know, up and coming teams, countries ideally, and any brands just, you know, grow their brand of rugby, really. and just be that sort of platform where we can just share their story. And yeah, so watch this space a little bit on that one. But at the moment, I've parked it slightly just to focus on other bits and pieces. So.
No, absolutely. Well, everyone will put the links up anyway for all of these things for everyone to keep in touch. Grassroots is it's a passion of ours, and obviously it's a passion of yours. The amount of work you guys are putting into it, it's great to see, and it's important to see, I think, because a lot of clubs around the world are in the same position during COVID, and when you're building a structure as well, and it's great to shows like this bring ideas out, which is great, and the work you guys are doing, maybe some people will steal some of your ideas and bring it into their communities, which is great as well. But yeah, to go into my last question for you guys, because this is where we kind of ask you your highs and lows in the game, because you know. I'm a J4 water boy. Joe will tell you he's a prop any chance he gets. And so I've been going through Manu's accolades. I've been going through accolades of everybody. So what is the high of your career, of your time in the game?
Myself?
We start with Brendan, and then we can finish with Manu showing us his medals if you want.
Yeah. Me personally, my high point, as a child growing up, watched England play at Twickenham, you know, my whole life, and it was always taking trips to Twickenham, and I said one day I want to play there, and I got that opportunity with the forces. So it was combined services at the time, but it's now UK Armed Forces. For me, that was just a tipping point for me. Ever since then, I've been injured, but for me, that was just a hell of an opportunity, and that's definitely my high point in sort of my rugby playing career, I'd say.
Manu.
Yeah, for me, definitely it's outside of the pitch. So the lifelong friendships I achieved through rugby are unique, honestly unique, and probably the one reason I'm still involved in the sport, despite all the lows, and there have been plenty. But I mentioned it beforehand, for me, rugby is really in a positive way, like a fraternity. So the guys I started playing with at the age of 6, most of them are still my best friends. And no matter where we are in the world, I always said I felt comfortable all over the world, because I know every time my friends are just a phone call away. And that's definitely something I took away from the playing field, the way you go out there with your brothers and the way you play that brutal game is something pretty unique, and that's definitely the high. Not many.
I'm sure there's many more, but like you say, it comes back down to fundamental basics of why we're playing the game. Remembering why we're playing the game, remembering why we're involved and what it is we're trying to do, whether you're playing or administrating or, you know, coaching teams or sharing around what we're doing. Okay. Kevin Hare from Redefined in the glorious Aotearoa, New Zealand. Should have got my mate Tim Manawatu in on this.
Played again many times, so great player, great guy. Hi, Tim.
Cool. Right, Kev, you know what's coming next, don't you, mate? You know what I mean? In 24 hours, there's a three-way conversation going on with a warm intro. And Tim, as Liam Neeson was, we don't even have to send a photo of Liam Neeson now, because we know who you're connected with, and it's not if, it's just when you're going to be on the show. So you can thank Kevin Hare for that. John Dennison, who runs World Rugby Memorial, phenomenal. Take a look at World Rugby Memorial, lads, and what John Dennison is doing over there in France. I think most informative and positive program in the Grassroots series today. Fair play, John. Thanks very much for that, mate. Good. So to finish off then, lads, I'm actually saying both the same question. We'll start with Brendan. What's the future for the Green Gazelles in the next sort of 24 months, notwithstanding COVID? And what would you wish? Where would you wish to be in the next 2 years for the Green Gazelles and for Rheinfels as the regional side?
Yeah, so for the next 24 months, we're going to really work hard to grow our sort of squad and support staff, with the aim to play at a major stadium in ideally the UK against a non-vegan team. So turn it into some sort of documentary and make it sort of really informative but at a good level. And yeah, just feature that at a major stadium and just see what it's, take it from there, really. And I want to have at least two men's teams, at least one women's team, and sort of get more educational stuff out there in schools and just grow with various other brands and yeah, grow it there, really. That's about it, really.
Good. Well, we wish you all the very best with that, mate. I think it's phenomenal what you're doing. How are you fitting it all in? But they always say, give more work to a busy man. Manu, where would you like to see rugby in Germany and the German rugby side in the next sort of 24 months, notwithstanding COVID, mate?
So the main drivers for our strategy are definitely growth and awareness. I believe we need awareness to grow, especially in Germany. The Rugby World Cup has shown, it was the first time a real studio show. We had, I think, the seventh best viewing figures worldwide, even more than Ireland, by the way. I think 12 million people watched the Rugby World Cup. The same goes for the Olympic final. It was the second most viewed Olympic event in Germany. So we need to get German teams in there. So therefore, we need to grow from the grassroots. We have, I believe, a couple of good initiatives. The Oktoberfest Sevens we didn't mention, an international Sevens tournament, which we run twice now. We have picked up a very exciting partnership with one of the world leading, if not the leading Sevens tournament in the world. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. And so they join us. We join forces to really establish a world-class Sevens tournament in Germany. I think it will help along the way. But despite that, of course, we want to get all our junior teams back into play. We had to cancel some of the junior national teams last year just because of funding. We re-registered all of them in the European competitions, which is very positive. So I believe that's the way to start. The same goes for the women's team, which we had to stop last year. We restarted it again. And I want to see a German team in all European competitions in the next 4 to 5 years. I want to see the men's team back in the top flight in Europe. I want to see our sevens team at the Olympics. I want to have a world-class sevens tournament in Germany. And I want to have the awareness German rugby deserves and unlock the potential. So it's pretty easy.
I reckon the Germans are coming across and help you on this journey. I want to do it. I'll carry your bags around for you, brother. I tell you. Oh, good man. Jeez, I'm tired just listening to you. That's phenomenal. And I think it's that vision which is just taking you from strength to strength. And I think it's that above all for me, from both of you. I see the genuine passion for the game and for the improvement and for people, and neither of you have forgotten what it's meant to be. And I think there are other organisations involved in rugby administration and structures across the globe who could learn and remember why we are involved in rugby, and it is about the people. We could go on for another 2 hours about how we develop. Tier 2 and Tier 3, we were almost on for an hour this afternoon. It's been fab, guys. Thank you. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed another. Keigo, leave us with one final thought.
Absolutely. What we try and do every other Monday is to bring the grassroots together, because that's where we all started. From the age of 7, some people watching are up in their 70s. And I think it's important, like I said earlier on, that everyone shares ideas. Especially now, everyone is in the same boat in terms of the struggles of either fixing a system or starting a system. And it's great to see what you guys are doing. I just haven't doing research on you both today. I don't know how you have time to have a real life and brush your teeth as well as doing everything you're doing. So I salute you all. I might start this plant-based thing based on Brendan's energy today. I need a bit of that. So more broccoli for me from tomorrow on, but saluting the work for you guys, absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant. Guys, just in the studio, I would just go down quickly. Thanks very much, guys. Another educationalizing, crack-filled and banter-driven show. Three Blokes, a Ball and Bard, part of the Three Bod Shows group of global online rugby chat shows where we try to educate, engage and enjoy. Coming up on Wednesday, we have the monthly Ulster Rugby Roundup show, White Walkers Chat and Crack. You have to probably be from Ulster or be into a Game of Thrones to understand that one, where we've got host Nigel Quigley. I'll be producing my host Nigel Quigley, the Night King himself, and also Van Staden, South African-born former Ireland women's prop, still playing for Ulster, and they're part of her Nalana won the Key Narco Biltong coming up there, North. So they'll be on. And we've got Cuiva Morrison from Rugby Academy Ireland, who is the women's coordinator at Rugby Academy Ireland, who worked obviously with the great Dan Fonsale and the Women's Initiative, which they are releasing in October. And then on Thursday, Andy Daniel is a man down, and he's on some special mission, man down. He's on some special mission in South Africa. So I'm coming from the bowels of producing with the borrowers underneath the floorboard, and I'll be hosting with Gareth Mason, great G-man, and we'll be looking at last weekend's for the four team competition, and looking towards this competition weekend. We've got the Greens versus the Goals in South Africa on our Springbok and South African Rugby Roundup show, the Reboka, a ball and blitz pod. That's on Thursday. So tons and tons of stuff happening. And next week I might get a bit of a break. Until then, until Wednesday at 8:30 is usual time. If you like the show, share it on. If you didn't like the show, share it on anyway, because other people need to be educated. Why wouldn't you enjoy this? It's great. Manu Wilhelm, the head of the Deutsche Rugby Verbund, the German Rugby Union. Thanks very much, mate. Brendan Bale, amongst other things as well. With your 46 caps, needs to come back. He needs to come back to get another four caps. We're going to push that now. And Brendan Bale, in all seriousness, thanks, Manu. And thanks for everything that you do, mate. And now you're a contact. You can't go anywhere, mate, because we've got you. Contact details, so you'll have to come back on again, but you'd be welcome back on again and let us know how things are going, mate. And if there's anything we can do to promote you and the DRV, then please let us know, mate. We'll be glad to do so. Brendan Bale, I look forward to receiving the menus and the advice. I'll speak to Phil this upcoming this week, and hopefully Gaz will realise that he might have 1.1 million followers, but he's just got another one with Big Joe Shepherd, and that puts me to the top of the list, because next Monday's coming around fast and I need to know exactly what I'm doing. Thanks, brother. Stay safe. Our regards to everybody in Ramstein, mate, and thank you for all you do with the forces, mate. It's never an easy job. And me and Keegan will be back in 2 weeks' time, and we're not going to tell you where we're going to be in the globe. It's another surprise. You'll have to keep watching this Three Pod shows via any of the pages, any of the Facebook pages on the groups. Until then, Manu Wilhelm, Brendan Bale, Keegan, and Big Joe Shep. Until the next exciting show. Gotta meet a machine, tag us, slang a foul.